Hi, this is Jennifer Easerlo, the Skinny Chef. In My Granny's Kitchen is an ongoing series of tape conversations that take place at Granny's kitchen table in the house where I grew up. Granny is famous for her cooking, and that's where my food education started. I want to share her legacy and how she taught me to bring people together with food. So pull up a chair and join us in Granny's Kitchen. Granny loves to bake, and this episode is all about Christmas cookies. Granny used to start a month in advance to make a wide selection of home-baked holiday treats. After we ate dinner and opened gifts, Granny would initiate her favorite holiday games, where there was fierce competition. Yeah, Christmas for me was always about nut roll. That was
the thing.
Huh? Yeah, nut roll and all those cookies.
Yes.
You used to start 2 or 3 weeks in advance to make those.
A month ahead of time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When it came to making Christmas cookies, you always started way ahead. And I used to put each individual type of cookies into a separate tin can or a tin container. And then I'd put a piece of tape around them.
That could be easily removed if you were a small child.
and when it is sweet. But I'd put the tape around so that the air wouldn't get it, and I'd put it in the back of the refrigerator. And I would make, what would you say, how many kinds?
15
or 20 kinds of cookies.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the neighbors would come in, too, like Thomasine, my neighbor. She'd bring some cookies, and by the time Christmas came, we'd put out enormous platters of different types of Christmas cookies. Plus, like you said, we always liked that nut roll and poppy seed roll.
I used to make apricot too, but that was my least favorite of the
I didn't get on to the knack of making that really tasty. And something about apricot, you almost had to eat it as soon as it was baked. That's what it tastes the best.
Gooey, because it would become gooey. And I always found it a little too sweet.
Yeah, it was different. Yeah. It was a little different. But I didn't make it as often as I made the poppy seed. And in fact, your uncle's like that about the best.
Oh, you know, for me too. When I was a kid, it was the nut, all about the nut, because it was walnuts and cinnamon and the tender dough. But now that I'm older, I think that poppy seed is just intoxicating.
I enjoy that. Yeah. Well, we could make that. I used to try and bake that the last thing.
The poppy seed?
Yeah, poppy seed and the nut
And the
roll.
Raisin cookies you baked at the last.
Yeah, because they didn't stay as long. But sometimes you could put them in the freezer and they did pretty well. You know,
cookies did well in the freezer.
They did. I didn't put them in because I didn't particularly like the flavor of the once you put them in the freezer. Mm-hmm. So I'd store them in the back, like I said. But you can't mix your cookies too much, too, because then they get...
moisture levels will make them gooey.
Yeah, and they don't taste the same.
Right. I remember, once I was cooking for someone, and they said to me, these muffins you make just don't stay. And here they had mixed in all different pieces of pie and muffin all in one container and covered it. And I said, if you don't store baked goods separately, they pick up the moisture from other items. So, and that
makes
something.
A difference.
Yeah,
and they grab the taste of that too. They can grab the aroma of it and it makes it taste differently. But I think that's the secret is to keep them in separate containers and make sure that the air doesn't get into them if you make them ahead of time.
What was your favorite cookie?
My favorite cookie? I don't know. I like to try a new one each year, too. And that one year I made those pinwheels. And after I was finished, they were so labor. You had to, turn the cookie and double it over and everything. And I thought, I'm not going to make that again.
I like the caramel taffy. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I like it, too.
And those lemon sandwich cookies?
Yeah, they were good. Lee liked those.
Yeah
those she always
tasty.
Liked those.
And then you made this. It was almost like a faux brittle. A faux peanut brittle where you would take the graham crackers and dip them. How did you make those?
You just you spray the sheet pan, and then you put a piece of aluminum foil or what's that paper called?
Wax paper?
No, parchment down, and you spray that again. And then you lay out your graham crackers all over, cover the whole sheet with graham crackers. And then you take butter and brown sugar, and you heat it to to get, I've forgotten
oh,
how many.
Oh, so that makes the caramelite.
Mm-hmm. And then you pour that over the top, and you sprinkle nuts on top of that. And then you put it in the oven and bake it for not too long, I forget, but maybe 5-8 minutes. And then you take it out, and while it's still hot, you take your chocolate chips that you have in a plastic bag, and you cut the tip, and then you just sprinkle them.
And they, and they melt right on top.
And it melts right on top, yeah. It's one of the easiest cookies, but people seem to like that. And then you wait till it's cool, and then you cut them into triangles.
You know, that's an easy recipe for someone to make who's not who doesn't have experience baking, who wants to make a
holiday treat. And it would be a good one to make with children, too.
Yeah.
Because there's not too many steps, and they get rewarded right away, you know, by seeing what they can,
what they can put together. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's real good. But I liked all the cookies. But by the time you're done baking them all, you're not as eager. Yeah, you're not as eager to eat them.
Yeah, that's the same experience I had in a restaurant. People kept saying to me that they were surprised that I lost weight working in restaurants. And I said, well, when you're handling food so much and you're tasting after a time, it's not as appetizing anymore.
Right,
and you're working, you're doing such physical, lifting and moving about that it's easy to keep your figure when even though you're working around food.
And of course, the best part of making all those cookies is sharing them with people.
You
remember how many we used to give to the neighbors? Everybody got a box of cookies.
Yeah, we used to save all those plastic containers and
fill them up, and you'd take and deliver them
around.
And
you'd always have a little package of doilies.
Yeah,
paper doilies.
And I'd sprinkle candy to make it look nice. And you would take it around to the neighbors so they'd all get their cookies, a box of cookies. And they always enjoyed that. That was fun, sharing it. And even when you'd go to your girlfriends, you'd take a
A lot of my girlfriends in college, they didn't cook. And their mothers didn't cook or bake, so.
Yeah, it was a treat.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Elizabeth? When I sent her out to the car with the cookies and her father took them and ate them all.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
He took them off of her and he ate the whole olive.
Oh, yeah, he was a real sweets fanatic.
Oh, God.
Do you remember when he used to make those pizzelles?
Yeah, I love those pizzelles. Oh, I should make them sometime. Yeah.
But they were so tough to get the iron started, and you'd always burn your fingers because you always did things with your hands. You didn't use many tools.
No. But the trouble is getting that...
The iron.
The right temperature so that they would bake but not burn.
And not stick, because sometimes you'd lift, you'd put it in, it was like a waffle iron. You'd put the dollop of dough in, you'd close the lid, and you'd open it, and the darn thing, the cookie would be half cookie on the top, half cookie on the bottom. I remember.
Okay.
So Christmas dinner, we always had lamb, didn't we?
No, that was Easter. We had the lamb at Easter.
Right.
All right, we usually had ham.
Ham.
Yeah. Ham, and I'd make...
The other ham.
Yeah, and I'd usually make another side dish, maybe, something that we could warm up. It wouldn't take too much preparations because Christmas was always busy. Sometimes I'd make stuffed cabbages.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I'd make paprikash as
a
side.
Oh, chicken paprikash.
Yeah, that. Yeah. And a couple times I made stroganoff, remember? I'd have that instead of the paprikash, and we'd have ham because we always had it in the day with ham sandwiches and whatever was left.
Round two.
Right, round two. Exactly.
After all that Christmas gift opening.
Right, all the opening of the gifts and everything. Yeah, but we'd have as many as, I think, 20, more than 20 all the time by the time you brought your friends with you.
Yeah, I always had friends over for the holidays.
Yeah, they always came
especially.
For holidays, yeah. And so we'd always have about around 20 people. And I liked getting the table set up, with the green tablecloths and the red tablecloths and the napkins and the
candles. Favorite part was the tree.
Oh, I
know. But it wasn't just decorating a tree. It was because you had all those... ornaments that were from, your travels from the 50s and 60s and those antique hand-blown glass. Remember you had that little alien in a spaceship?
Yes, Aunt June gave that to me. I just loved that. But I think you guys broke it one time.
We broke the globe that went over, but we still have the body for that. And the cat that was a lion trainer.
Yeah.
And those were all so beautiful, hand-painted glass.
Yes.
And they came back into fashion.
Yeah, I know.
Radco started to reproduce some of those, you know, very stylistic ornaments, and you had quite a collection of those.
You remember we used to play games with it too, with the tree?
We did?
Oh, yeah.
I see on the tree, and then you'd have to repeat what the other person saw. And I made up a game too with find the ornament on the tree that was the king of wine or something, you know. And that we'd have to go and find different games that we played with that tree.
We were really into playing games like charades. And
we always played charades.
Oh, yeah, charades. There was a lot of emotion and competition. Yeah. And,
right.
Yeah,
right.
And Uncle Lou would just get so overwrought.
Yes.
I think maybe that was all the sugar from the cookies.
I don't know. He just loved those games. And he'd come in and ready to go. You're not quitting yet. And then a lot of times toward the end of the evening, they would play poker.
You or know. 500.
Or 500, yeah, 500 in poker. And you'd be still, when you were little, you would still be on the floor playing with your toys way into the night. You'd be still playing with your whatever you got for Christmas, and they'd be there playing poker or 500, you know, after the dinner was over. But as you got older, couldn't do those things, you know, as much. But Christmas was a big time. Big time. Big family time.
Yeah, long night.
Yeah, it was.
But we always had to have that, the sandwich hour. That was when the poker came out.
Right.
Because we'd always have our meal early.
Right.
What time? 2 o'clock?
Around
2 o'clock,
yeah.
2 o'clock.
We'd eat
our
first meal or 2 o'clock, and then later on in the evening we'd had to have ham sandwiches.
Yeah, around 7 o'clock we'd break out the sandwiches.
And whatever was left over put on the table. And that's where we would. And then they'd play poker, 500 or some kind of games. Yeah, it was always fun. It was a fun time.
A lot of work, though, too.
Oh, you're not only whistling, Dixie.
In Granny's Kitchen is recorded and produced by Jennifer and Ulrich Easerlo. To find recipes, news on healthy living, and more of Granny's Kitchen stories, visit skinnychef.com.